ਪਿਆਰੇ ਦੋਸਤੋ, SBS ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਤੇ ਅੱਜ ਅਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਬਹੁਤ ਹੀ ਵੱਖਰੇ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੀ ਗੱਲਬਾਤ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਤੱਕ ਲਿਆ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ। ਦੋਸਤੋ, ਕੋਰੋਨਾ ਵਾਇਰਸ ਦਾ ਮਾਹੌਲ ਪੂਰੀ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਅਜਿਹਾ ਫੈਲਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਵੱਖ ਵੱਖ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੀਆਂ ਦਿੱਕਤਾਂ ਤੇ ਚੁਣੌਤੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਸਾਹਮਣਾ ਕਰਨਾ ਪੈ ਰਿਹਾ। ਅਲੱਗ ਅਲੱਗ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੀਆਂ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਮਜਬੂਰੀਆਂ ਵੀ ਸਾਹਮਣੇ ਆਈਆਂ ਨੇ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅੱਜ ਅਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਅਜਿਹੇ ਸ਼ਖਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਗੱਲਬਾਤ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਆਸਟ੍ਰੇਲੀਅਨ ਨੇ, ਪੈਦਾ ਇੱਥੇ ਹੋਏ। ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਪਰਿਵਾਰ ਪਿਛਲੀਆਂ ਦੋ ਪੁਸ਼ਤਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਆਸਟ੍ਰੇਲੀਆ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ, ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਮੂਲ ਦੇ ਹੈਗੇ ਨੇ। ਇੱਥੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਪੜ੍ਹਾਈ ਕੀਤੀ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਸਟ੍ਰੇਲੀਆ ਨੂੰ ਆਏ ਸਾਂ ਭਾਰਤ ਤੋਂ, ਇਹ ਵਿਆਹ ਕਰਕੇ ਵਾਪਸ ਭਾਰਤ ਗਏ ਤੇ ਦੋਸਤੋ ਉੱਥੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਆਪਣਾ ਕਾਰੋਬਾਰ ਸੈਟਅਪ ਕੀਤਾ, ਆਪਣੀ ਪੂਰੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਵਸਾਈ, ਬੱਚੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਸਕੂਲ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਕੋਰੋਨਾ ਵਾਇਰਸ ਦੀਆਂ ਦਿੱਕਤਾਂ ਕਰਕੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਾਇਦ ਇਹ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਮਹਿਸੂਸ ਹੋਈ ਕਿ ਆਸਟ੍ਰੇਲੀਆ ਦਾ ਰੁੱਖ ਕੀਤਾ ਜਾਵੇ ਜਿੱਥੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਮਾਪੇ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਨੇ, ਤੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਫਿਕਰ ਸੀ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਨਾਲ ਆਪਣੇ ਛੋਟੇ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਦੀ ਵੀ ਫਿਕਰ ਸੀਗੀ। ਭਾਰਤ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਚੁਣੌਤੀਆਂ ਅਲੱਗ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੀਆਂ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ ਨੇ, ਸਿਹਤ ਦੀਆਂ, ਆਬਾਦੀ ਦੀਆਂ, ਤੇ ਆਬਾਦੀ ਦੀ ਘਣਤਾ ਯਾਨੀ ਡੈਂਸਿਟੀ ਨੂੰ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਵੀ ਫਿਕਰਮੰਦ ਇਹ ਰਹੇ। ਰਮੋਨਾ ਸਾਹੂ ਸਾਡੇ ਨਾਲ ਟੈਲੀਫੋਨ ਲਾਈਨ ਤੇ ਸਾਂਝ ਪਾਈ ਹੈ ਤੇ ਹੁਣ ਆਪਣੇ ਪਰਿਵਾਰ ਸਮੇਤ ਬੰਬਈ ਤੋਂ ਵਾਪਸ ਮੈਲਬਰਨ ਆ ਕੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਰਹਿਣਾ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕੀਤਾ। ਰਮੋਨਾ ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਮੂਲ ਦੇ ਹੈ ਨੇ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਬੋਲ ਪਾਉਂਦੇ, ਇਸ ਕਰਕੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਅੰਗਰੇਜ਼ੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਗੱਲ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਬੜੀ ਦਿਲਚਸਪ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਸ਼ਖਸੀਅਤ ਹੈਗੀ ਹੈ। ਜਦ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਵਿਆਹ ਹੋਇਆ ਸੀ ਤੇ ਸਾਡੇ SBS ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਹੀ ਇੱਕ ਡਾਕੂਮੈਂਟਰੀ ਵੀ ਬਣੀ ਸੀ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿਆਹ ਦੀ ਕਹਾਣੀ ਦੇ ਬਾਰੇ, ਥੋੜਾ ਉਸਦੇ ਬਾਰੇ ਵੀ ਗੱਲ ਕਰਾਂਗੇ। ਲੇਕਿਨ ਪਹਿਲੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਸਵਾਗਤ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ। ਰਮੋਨਾ, ਵੈਲਕਮ ਟੂ SBS ਪੰਜਾਬੀ।
ਥੈਂਕ ਯੂ ਵੈਰੀ ਮਚ, ਥੈਂਕਸ ਫਾਰ ਹੈਵਿੰਗ ਮੀ।
ਰਮੋਨਾ, ਯੋਰ ਸਟੋਰੀ ਇਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਇੰਟਰਸਟਿੰਗ ਐਜ਼ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਕੰਪੈਲਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਚੈਲੰਜਿੰਗ। ਐਸ ਆਈ ਹੈਡ ਸੈਡ ਅਰਲੀਅਰ, it's very common to see people migrate into foreign shores from India, but people like you who've you know, taken the reverse route, which is known as reverse migration, what led you to do that? And you know, especially after your family had worked so hard to make Australia their new home.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been living with my family in Mumbai for almost 14 years now. And you know, we left after the birth of my first daughter, and very much with, you know, not a great plan in our heads other than that just packed our suitcases and we went off on an adventure, and 14 years later we're still there and very much made Mumbai our home. And obviously beginning of this year when this coronavirus you know, thing started, we found ourselves in a situation, I guess myself predominantly, where there was a really strong yearning and pull to come home. And for me, home is Melbourne, where I was born and brought up and where all my family lives. And we live as a nuclear family in Mumbai, and we live, you know, we don't have any sort of close family around us per se, apart from my husband's sister who lives, you know, in Mumbai, distances that are a lot, so about a couple of hours away from us. So we felt very alone, we felt very isolated. There was a lot of fear around how things were going to transpire in India, in Mumbai in particular. And, you know, my parents are, my father's a medical practitioner and he's still working on the front lines. And there was a lot of, I guess, anxiety for me in really wondering whether or not I would be able to see them again. And when I would be able to see them again, because it seems like things are shutting down. And, you know, in the past, whenever anything has happened in my family or whether it's been a celebration, I've been able to get on a plane and be here for most occasions. And I knew that that wasn't going to be an option. So it was a very, I guess, my, you know, it was a big pull on the heartstrings and emotional desire to get back, to be close to family, and that's kind of what really prompted our you know, to us to sort of look at how we could get back here to Melbourne.
And Rabona, you and your daughter are Australian citizens, your husband and
Correct.
Your younger daughter are permanent residents of Australia, so entering and exiting Australia and living here for as long as you wish is not a challenge. And you would feel privileged in that sense, because there are many of us who cannot get their family over these days, considering the travel restrictions on tourist visas. But I want to know, why did you feel the need to return to Australia despite leaving a thriving business behind, which you did build up over the years?
I think it was definitely not an easy decision, and it's one that we sort of contemplated and almost booked tickets and then cancelled, and almost booked tickets and cancelled. And, you know, we did this exercise a couple of times because, as you said, we had we have a life in Mumbai. We still have a, you know, business there, a home there, pets, and a whole entire setup in Mumbai. So to walk away from that was a very, very challenging decision. And I guess, like I said, one of the big driving factors was the desire to be closer to family, in particular my parents. And, you know, there was, we, at that point, obviously, the mentality of people in India is quite different. And there was a lot of stigma, a lot of fear, a lot of paranoia around the virus. And we found, like, the wavelength of a lot of people living in our building was extremely different. And it was challenging because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you live in a bubble when you live in a big city like Mumbai. And then all of a sudden, you have to sort of go by other rules, other people's rules. And it just, you know, it didn't make sense. And you know, I could see the kids were getting frustrated and not being able to kind of have any outdoor time, any outdoor space. And it was taking a real toll, you know, and I could see that, you know, that this is not going to change in the foreseeable future. And we decided, well, obviously we knew we had the option if we wanted to leave, and we knew that the options were limited. And we had been in touch with the Australian consulate and told them our position. And we actually had to get an emergency passport made for my daughter to fly out because she didn't have validity on her Australian passport. So there was a lot of steps involved, but, you know, everything just seemed to happen. So we took it like, okay, well, this is, maybe this is meant to be. And there was a lot of demand for tickets, as you can imagine. And, you know, I really honestly don't know how we managed to secure the tickets, because it literally, you know, sold out in a matter of minutes, and it crashed the system. And there was all sorts of people in very, very difficult circumstances who didn't get tickets on the Qantas flight that left from direct from Mumbai to Melbourne. So that's how it sort of came about. And I think we really felt that at the time we were making the right decision for our children. We would be able to give them, continue their education here. And we were hoping that they would actually physically get to school. But as you know, the lockdown in Victoria has been extended. So they're again online schooling. But we were really, yeah, we really thought that, you know, at that point we were making a better decision. They could be around their cousins. They could be around family. They could have an opportunity to actually get some fresh air, be in nature, and all these things. I think when you're dealing with a pandemic like this, these things make a difference, you know. And in Mumbai, we were stuck in our apartment, very limited access to outdoors. We were allowed to go for walks, but my younger daughter, who is under 10, was not allowed to go outdoors at that point. So there was many, I think there were sort of the compelling factors, and we really thought, you know, that we were making a good decision at that point in time when we left at the end of May.
Ramona, you said that you came to Australia to live in a healthier and more supportive environment here. But has Melbourne's strict lockdown disappointed you in a way?
I think it, I don't know if it's disappointed or if it has been, it's been challenging, absolutely very challenging. We were in lockdown from March, then we went straight into quarantine. And after quarantine, I think we enjoyed a couple of weeks of, you know, I think stage two lockdown, where we were able to meet family and do sort of semi-normal, what felt like semi-normal activities, obviously with all the social distancing. But this is, yeah, this has been really tough, I must admit, because, you know, there's been a lot of thought, did we make the right decision? Should have we stayed in our home? You know, I think when you're going through something that is worldwide like this, being in a comfort, your comfort zone, whether that be Mumbai or Melbourne, I think that's what it comes down to, you know. And we've tried to recreate that here for our children in particular to make sure that they don't feel as if, you know, there's a massive void. I mean, obviously, home is home, you know, no matter where that is, I think. And we don't have an established place here. And so we've kind of scrambled together, an existence and tried to give the kids a level of comfort so that they can feel sort of, you know, some sense of routine and some sense of normality. And I think on some levels we've achieved that. But there is definitely, you know, definitely do feel homesick. And I don't think that that is something that we necessarily anticipated feeling all of us as strongly as we do, given that we were really, really keen to get out of Mumbai, given the way things were looking at that point in time. So, you know, I think we're sort of at this point where we're just taking it a day at a time and really just trying to get through the best we can and focusing on, you know, our well-being more than anything else, so that whatever lies ahead, we can deal with it, you know.
Ramona, does the move back to Australia feel like the right decision in the given circumstances? Because, as I said earlier, that you came in search of freedom in a way, freedom from the restrictions and challenges, the genuine challenges that India's socio-economic dynamics throw at everybody who lived there. You came in search of that freedom. Do you think that freedom has eluded you so far, given Victoria's very strict stage for lockdown?
Yeah, I think to an extent, obviously, you know, not taking anything for granted, but yes, we can go for walks still, and we are still able to kind of, you know, have some simple pleasures. And obviously we're trying to sort of focus more on those. But most definitely, I think, you know, I was really pushed to be here and really thought, you know, especially for the kids in particular, that would be the right thing for them to be able to actually physically get to school after, you know, they sort of started virtual learning as well in March. So I think, I don't know whether it's a right or wrong decision. I think it's definitely been a big time of introspection and a taste of what, or maybe a reminder of what life is like here, and a time for us to reflect, reconsider. I mean, Australia's been on the cards, coming back to Australia's been on the cards for many years, but at the end of the day, you know, we need to be able to, you know, create a life here. And, you know, we're a little bit ahead of our original plan schedule of coming back, and I think it has thrown us a little bit. We're not, you know, we feel quite unsettled, I think, you know, a bit of limbo land at the moment for us. And I think, you know, but I am a big believer in the universe and that things happening for a reason, and possibly that reason is not clear at this point in time. So I have to have patience and I have to have, I guess, trust in the process that is ahead of us, that things will work out. Whatever works out will be for a higher good. So whether that means that we stay here or it means we need to go back, it's hard to say. I just have to be open to whatever it is, because I've realised that clearly, you know, all of us have realised that we're completely out of control of what happens. And, you know, this coming to Australia seemed to fall into place for us. So there must be, I'm sure, some reason for that. And I think right at the moment, for most Victorians and for people who maybe are in a similar situation to us, it is very unclear what that is. You know, I question that every day. I'll be honest with you, I question that every day. Did we make the right decision? Too soon to say. I think something good will come, whether that's just an opportunity to, you know, like I said, coming back to Australia has been on the cards for years, and maybe this is not where I'm meant to be. I really don't know at this point. But we're here for now, and you know, we're healthy, we're safe. You know, we have a family around, and I'm hoping that whatever time when the lockdown eases, we can enjoy some family time together. So that's all I can really, at this point, I'm hoping for. You know, I can't think too far ahead because
what happens
next is out of our control. Yeah.
But where do you think exactly is home for you, Ramona?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I mean, my father always tells me, you know, but you're born in Melbourne, you're a Melbourne girl. And, yeah, a big part of me, you know, feels that, you know, in some ways. Like sometimes when I get in the car and I drive and I think, yeah, you know, I remember this feeling of independence. And, you know, in India you have a driver and it's so different. And, you know, so but right now if you would ask me where is home, I can't, it's really hard to say. I think, to be honest with you, I think I'm never going to be able to choose between Mumbai and Melbourne. I think home is just, you know, we're going to always have to strike a balance between the two places.
Mm.
I think I could never choose. I don't think I could ever choose anymore because, you know, there's something magical about India as well. And
sure.
In Australia, you enjoy, you know, you're not comparing like with like. I think each place has its advantages, and obviously, you know, when we come here, we enjoy being outdoors, we enjoy being close to the family. But in many ways, I think for business, for my line of work, which is, you know, very much in the creative field, and India is just, you know, another level. You know, the things
sure.
I've achieved there and things I've done in India, I don't think I would have ever been able to have those opportunities had I stayed in Melbourne. So there's absolutely, you know, I think when I left Melbourne initially in the first few years, I was very nostalgic. I think that nostalgia has, you know, it settles after a while. And, you know, you obviously create new memories because now you've got children. And when I left here, I was, you know, I just had a young baby. So my kids are grown up in Mumbai. So in many ways, you know, I feel more Indian, way more Indian than when I left Melbourne 14 years ago.
Mm.
And I think that's, you know, yeah, I think there's, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, hopefully that would be my ideal, is to have a balance between the two places so I can enjoy both worlds. And, you know, that's what I feel like I want to achieve, yeah.
Ramona, now that you're here in Australia during a very challenging time, globally challenging time, you've spoken about the opportunities that India has provided to you. But what would you like to say about the safety net, or what I like to call the survival kit in troubled times that developed nations like Australia provide to its citizens and permanent residents? Do you think you can weigh and measure those, to juxtapose them together? Could you do that?
You know, I think, honestly speaking, I mean, I guess given our sort of backgrounds and our sort of history, we've never sort of had to really access that.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, we were fortunate in India to have a good lifestyle and, you know, to be able to sort of enjoy, you know, private health cover and many things that, you know, I guess are not easily affordable to everyone in India, and I'm very conscious of that. So for me, it's funny because I actually find things here, like just a basic example of when to get some medication, and I couldn't believe at the cost of things here, you know. And I find the process, often you know, that you need a prescription and you just can't go to the chemist and, you know, ask, you know, for two tubes of this or two tubes of that. It's so such a different system and something that I just feel like I'm not used to anymore. And I agree with you. Yes, for many people, it definitely provides, you know, a basic standard of living that, you know, in India, many don't have access to. And that's just a sad reality when you live in, you know, a country with such a big population, and the extremes are so extreme.
The social and economic disparity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's getting more and more, and it's so evident. It's so in your face every day in India.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see that even with the people that we, the staff that we have and people that work with us, I mean, it's very evident. So I think, yeah, I mean, on some levels, what you're saying is right, that, you know, when you have a smaller population, the government is able to provide a lot more care to its citizens. And in India, unfortunately, that is not the case, you know, at all. And that was something that another reason that we felt that, you know, at a time like this, you almost need to sort of just take care of yourself and your family. And in India, I felt we were very much getting pulled in many directions because of the level of responsibility and the staff and everything that we have. And we haven't, we are still taking care of all those people in our lives, you know, because they are reliant on us, you know, for income and to be able to look after their families and et cetera, even though there's work may or may not be happening. So it's a very different position. And I think that, you know, it just really comes down to, you know, the population in India. These sort of things are just not viable, and the focus is not, unfortunately, the government's focus is not on this. I mean, the way they handled the situation during the first lockdown with migrant workers and everything was just so sad to see, and it could have been avoided. And those sort of things were what really made us feel really sad and really, I guess, at that point, what was happening in Australia gave us a lot more confidence that the government is handling things properly and is and supporting its citizens. And, you know, that made us, gave us a, you know, we could watch the news in India and say, wow, look, you know, they're really handling things really well and they're, you know, getting through this. And in India, it just felt like, you know, it was just going to turn into a big mess. But having said that, things in India are opening up, you know, and things are moving. So I think, in some ways, when you do have such a big population, you have no option but for people to get back to work. And yes, there will be, you know, a higher death toll and all those sort of things, absolutely. But in India, it comes down to the survival of the fittest. And I think that is the mentality that people not accept, but people just understand that that's what it is, you know? And whether that's right or wrong, I'm not saying, but I think that is just a absolute truth about living in a country like India.
Sure. Ramona, do you guys want to go back sooner than later?
Look, the feelings change on a day-to-day basis. I think, look, to be honest with you, we came here with a suitcase each. And you cannot pack up a life in a suitcase. So I would be lying if I said, yes, I don't. I definitely do want to go back. I think, you know, we need to consolidate our lives. We need to, you know, pack up our lives. We need to figure out what we're going to do. And until we do that, I think we'll always have one foot there, one foot here. I think, you know, at the moment, because, you know, you can't just walk away from a life you've built of so many years and expect that it's going to just run on its own. And it's always at the back of our mind. You know, we always have that in, you know, that we have to take care of this and take care of that. And so I think when we do make the transition, I would hope that we could do it in such a way that we could actually, you know, not come here under circumstances like this where, you know, we're starting from nothing. Because we've built a world, and I would like to bring that world with me. You know, I don't want to just leave everything behind and to see my world sort of disintegrate. I think that would cause me a lot of grief in the long run. So I think to do my life justice and to do the hard work and that, you know, us as a family we've put in, we need to go back and we need to come back to Australia for sure. Like I said, Australia is somewhere where we want our kids to do their further education. But I think in order to do that, all of us as a family, I think, feel as if we need to do our life in Mumbai justice and take care of all the loose ends. And, you know, then I think with that peace of mind, we'll be able to start a fresh year for sure.
Ramona, you just spoke about your children who are homeschooling here in Melbourne at the moment. Is Melbourne Nana's house for them, or is Melbourne a potential new home for them now?
Oh, I think, look, yeah, I mean, we've always come here for holidays, and we've been fortunate enough to probably get back to Melbourne at least once a year since my kids were, you know, been young. So for them, yeah, Melbourne has been Nana Nani's home. You know, that's been home for them. So this is the first time we were coming back in a very different capacity and with a very different mindset. You know, normally we come in holiday mode and it's summer and it's Christmas and, you know, that's like the best time of year in Melbourne when it's daylight saving and it just feels like, you know, there's just a different feeling in the air. And this was coming back in, under very different circumstances, and I think we're all in a very different frame of mind.
And what do they feel about it? Why are we not living with Nana Nani and, you know, enjoying and jumping around? Why are we studying? Why are we in front of a computer?
I think kids, you know, kids are amazing. Like they, I've seen both of them just go with it. Like, you know, they're not questioning anymore, you know, why are we studying online or why are we not? I mean, I'm sure definitely there's a level of disappointment there that, you know, they haven't been able to especially enjoy more time with their cousins and the freedom that they used to normally enjoy in Australia. I mean, like I said, we had a taste of that in between in June for a couple of weeks before the lockdown came into effect again. But I think they understand that they really have a sense of now what makes a home, you know, and, and how much work goes into maintaining and running a home. You know, I think they didn't have that appreciation when they lived in Mumbai because, you know, they used to
domestic health. And, yeah.
Yes, they'd come back and now it's a very different dynamics. And I think that has given them a true appreciation for, you know, how you need to work and operate as a family. And that's how I grew up. And I used to tell them, you know, I used to clean my room every Saturday. Now you guys have to do the same thing. And, you know, so it's an opportunity for them to gain a lot more independence. And I think that is extremely valuable for them. And I think even if we do need to go back to Mumbai in the interim to kind of like pack up our life, they're going to go back with a very different view on their life there. And things will be different there. I mean, the level of, and that was, you know, the level of support that we had in India is not going to exist anymore because it just won't be able to in the same way. Eventually, things will probably get back to maybe what they were. But I think, yeah, it's changed a lot of things for a lot of people indefinitely. So I think, yeah, I think, you know, for down the line, absolutely, we would love to have a family home in Australia. I think that's something that we realise that, you know, we can't sort of, you know, enjoy Mumbai. But having said that, the funniest thing, the irony is we've come to this place. So we moved into an Airbnb and it has a backyard and has a cubby house. And my husband was saying, oh, this is perfect. You know, the younger one's going to love it. She's going to enjoy it. And my kids are so desi. They won't. they scream at the sight of a little spider, and I'm like, oh god, you guys are so desi. It's not funny. And she won't even go into the cubby house because of spider webs. You know, even my husband, poor guy, has, you know, washed it and cleaned it and everything. But they're such urban children. You know, they've grown up in an apartment block, and you know, so for them,
they've never had daddy long legs land on their shoulder like you did as a child here.
No, absolutely. I was smashing, you know, huntsmen all over the place, and I was playing in the backyard every, you know, that was my childhood, was that on my bicycle outdoors at neighbors' houses. Mum would have to scream for us to come home in the evenings, and you know, we would get muddy, we would get dirty. We didn't care. My kids, you step in a bit of mud and they freak out. It's like they're just, and I don't blame them because
that's the life in Mumbai. Yeah,
I think it's gonna be an adjustment for all of us, including my children, and maybe this is a way of easing them into what life could be like here for them.
I
think maybe that's what, you know, I've been given here as an opportunity to say, okay, you want to go back, sure, go back. This is what life could be like. I mean, I know it's not exactly how life would be. This sort of situation at the moment is quite unusual. But definitely, I mean, I wonder, even if my kids were at school, you know, how would my life look? I do wonder that a lot, you know. And it would be very different to the kind of routine and the kind of days that I would have in Mumbai, you know.
Tell us a bit about that documentary that SBS made with you at the time of your wedding.
Yeah, I mean, well, it started out actually as a a film that the documentary that we wanted to create, looking at first and second generation Indians and the experiences that I guess we had had growing up here, and that's where we sort of the conversation started. And then I got a filmmaker involved, and it turned during that process of exploring this idea and this concept. My now husband Anurag also came along to one of those initial meetings, and we were introduced to sort of mutual friends, and they said, oh, you know, you have to meet this person. And I don't think he was very interested in documentary making, but he came along. And anyway, through that process, we actually ended up, you know, getting together, and the documentary changed to actually explore, you know, our relationship and our getting together, and the merging of, I guess, two worlds, and, you know, followed us on our journey from, you know, our wedding in Melbourne to our wedding in Jodhpur. And, I mean, I look back and, you know, I think, oh my gosh, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And my mum asked me, she said, do you want to marry a son, the eldest son of a Marwari family? And that meant zero to me. You know, I'm like...
You didn't know from Adam what Marwaris meant.
No idea. I had no idea. And I was so clueless. And, you know, I look back at that video and I was just such an Aussie. And, you know, I made so many cultural, you know, mistakes when I went there. And I, you know, I hugged, and I was told that we don't hug in this culture. We, you know, we touch feet. And I just had no idea. I look back at that and it's almost like a cringe, because I think, oh my, you know, compared to what I feel now and how Desi I feel now. Mm. And, you know, everything in terms of whether it's our eating habits or whether it's the fact that I speak in Hindi and English mixed, or whether it's so many things, like I just can't explain it. And I just go, oh, wow, you know, what a journey that has been. So the documentary, yeah, followed us to India, followed the wedding. And then we came back to Australia after that, and I said, I'm never going to live in India. That was my famous last words. And there was actually...
Never say never.
Never say never. I know I should learn by now. But, you know, so, yeah, it was definitely a very interesting experience for me, because it was a complete culture shock for someone like myself to be, who's born and brought up in Australia and lived for 30 years here, and then to kind of go back and, you know, be part of a joint family and to experience what that was like. I struggled and I resisted it and I questioned it, and I just thought I could never live in India. So it's quite bizarre that I find myself 14 years later going, where do I call home? I mean, that, you know.
Torn between India and Australia.
I think I'll never choose. I think I'm never going to choose. I'm just going to create the best of both worlds. I don't think I can ever choose, because, I just think if I, for me, that's just not an option I want to consider.
What is the documentary called, Ramona?
It's called The Wedding Sari Showdown.
All right, Ramona, thank you very much. It was really a whirlwind of a tale that we got to hear from you. I really hope that you are happy with whichever decision you finally make, whether to live on in Melbourne or go back to Mumbai. And thank you very much for your time, and good wishes
thank you so much for the
you and your family, because you've really taken a leap of faith, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, like I said, I'm a big believer in the universe, and I just know that whatever the outcome is, it'll be the best for us, you know, and I just have to trust in that and you know, take each day at a time.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Blake.